الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتيناك سبعًا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, indeed it is an accepted fact and it is an irrefutable reality that every single surah and chapter of the Holy Quran, rather every verse and ayat of the Holy Quran, or every single word and letter of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, which is absolutely correct and accurate, totally amazing, marvelous, so awesome and great, because it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, every chapter and surah of the Holy Quran carries a very great message for you and I, and has a profound impact on the entire humanity, because it is the selected and the chosen words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are certain surahs and chapters or certain verses and ayat that enjoy some extra significance, some extra virtue and merit. They have been given some extra virtue and importance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Amongst those surahs, those chapters and those ayat of the Quran that enjoy some extra virtue, some extra merit in comparison to the rest of the ayat of the Quran, is a short surah, a short chapter that comprises of 7 short verses, which you and I recite every single day of our life without fail. Whether it be in our obligatory salah, our optional salah, throughout our day, in every single day of our life, we recite the surah. And perhaps everyone seated here has committed this entire surah and chapter to memory and is able to recite the surah at any given time. What is this surah? What is this noble surah called? This is none other than Suratul Fatiha. Or Suratul Hamd, commonly known as Suratul Rahmah, Suratul Shifa. Suratul Fatiha, the opening surah, the opening chapter of the entire Quran Majeed. Suratul Hamd, the surah of praise, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits His praise and His glory. Suratul Rahmah, that surah of mercy and rahmat, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes manifest His boundless and His limitless mercy, His vast rahmah. Suratul Shifa, this surah is also called the surah of cure, that surah that serves as a remedy for all our spiritual, and not only spiritual, but also our physical maladies and illnesses. This surah is a means of shifa and cure for all our illnesses. Once, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was sent out on an expedition. Whilst traveling, they decided to camp at a certain place, when there was a certain qabila, a certain tribe living very nearby. And upon camping at that place, when that tribe came to know about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum camping at this area, immediately they sent few individuals to go to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and find out if anyone knew how to cure, how to treat a person who has been afflicted by a poisonous serpent. The leader of the tribe was afflicted, or he was harmed by a very poisonous serpent, and some narration suggests it was actually a scorpion. Nevertheless, they sent few individuals to go and find out, to inquire from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if they knew how to treat this leader of theirs, how to cure him. So when they brought this request forward, immediately Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they decided, and the Amir, the leader of the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who was none other than Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, the illustrious companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he takes this task and he goes ahead. And he says, yes, I'm ready for the job. And he goes to these people and then he recites this noble surah, Suratul Fatiha, a few times. And then he applies his saliva on that part of the body which was afflicted by that poisonous serpent. And immediately, through the barakah and the blessings of this surah, immediately, instantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that person complete shifa and cure. Why is this? Because this surah is a promise that it is a shifa. It is a cure and a remedy for all our illnesses. Provided you and I had the true conviction and yaqeen. Provided we have the yaqeen, certainty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us shifa by reciting the surah. This is the most powerful surah in the Quran. The most magnificent surah in the Quran. The most noble surah in the Quran. إِنَّهَا لَأَعْظَمُ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have granted you 7 verses that are often recited, often repeated throughout the day. 5 times a day these verses are repeated. And we have granted you the noble book, the paragon of Allah, our illustrious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He explains what is meant by As-Sab'ul Mathani. It refers to none other than Suratul Fatiha. This is the most powerful surah in the entire Quran Majid. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu an, the most learned qari of this ummah, he narrates, one day I was busy engaged performing salah in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he happened to see me and he called for me, but since I was in salah, I decided to continue my salah. And after completing my salah, then I will go to him. But وَخَفَّفْتُ صَلَاتِي, I tried to shorten the length of my salah. And immediately after making salam, I proceeded and advanced towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he asked me, O Ubay, I call you. You did not respond to me. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, I was performing salah. And therefore I could not respond to you. I could not respond to your call. He said, no, haven't you recited the verse in the Quran? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Whenever Allah and His Rasul call you, or they summon for you, immediately respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then took hold of my hand. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي وَقَال, he said to me, O Ubay, shouldn't I teach you the most powerful, the most magnificent surah in the entire Quran? I said, certainly, Ya Rasulullah. By all means, please do so. This was the jazba, the thirst and the eager, the zeal that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to acquire true deeni knowledge, to acquire true adequate deeni knowledge. Nevertheless, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes hold of the hand of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an, and he then tells him, O Ubay, the greatest surah in the Quran is none other than Suratul Fatiha. This is the most powerful, the most magnificent, the most noble surah in the entire Quran. You and I recite this surah every single day in our life. Every one of us has committed this entire surah to memory. But let us ask ourselves, let us carefully ask ourselves, how many of us have really understood the true message of this Quran? How many of us have really understood the true message of Suratul Fatiha? How many of us have really understood what is Allah addressing us in the surah? Allah says very clearly and boldly in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't they contemplate? Why don't they cogitate and ponder over the meanings of the Quran? Why don't they apply their minds and focus themselves in understanding the message of the Quran? And ulama and scholars write very clearly that Suratul Fatiha is the khulasa. It is the crux and the summary of the entire Quran Majid. Hence, that person who intends or desires to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is passed on to us in this Quran, he should firstly understand the message of Suratul Fatiha. Because Suratul Fatiha contains all those aspects that is clearly mentioned in the Quran. It is a summary of the entire Quran. Therefore, let us for the few minutes try to apply our mind and try to focus ourselves in understanding basically, briefly, the basic commentary and the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this chapter. Allah commences this surah by firstly praising Him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In the very first verse of the entire Quran, Allah makes it very clear to us that remember, O man, whatever form of bounty or favor you are enjoying in this world, whatever form of ni'mah you are enjoying in this world, whether it is your health or your wealth, whether it is your businesses or your occupations, whether it is your degrees or your diplomas, whether it is your spouses or your children, remember, all praises goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the one who has bestowed upon you these favors. Allah is the giver. Allah is the doer. Allah is the taker. So Allah makes it very clear to us that all praises goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us is worthy of any praise in this world. All praise should go back to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, look at the word Allah chooses. Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This word Alhamd is so comprehensive, so great in meaning, that this word Alhamd, it combines the meaning of praise together with thanks. If I have to praise you, it does not necessarily mean I'm thanking you. On the converse, if I have to thank you, it does not necessarily mean I'm praising you. Praise and thanks does not mean they both go hand in hand. So Allah never say Al-Madhu Lillah, that just praise belongs to Allah, or shukru lillah, or thanks belongs to Allah. Allah instead used this word alhamd, which is so comprehensive that it combines praise together with thanks. That as if we are saying, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank you by attributing every sort of praise to you. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Look at the veracity of this word. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ تَمْلَآنِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That this word or this praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah and alhamdulillah, it occupies and encompasses the entire space between the heavens and the earth, full of reward and barakah and light. This is the weight of the word alhamdulillah on the scales on the day of qiyamah. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commences this chapter. And rather Allah begins the entire Quran by firstly praising Him and teaching you and I how to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to glorify Him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who is Allah? Mention few attributes of Allah, few qualities of Allah, few sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have to list all the attributes of Allah, all the sifat and the qualities of Allah, right at the top will be the attribute, the sifat of being the Rabb. Allah is the Rabb of every single person. Allah is the Rabb of every single being. Allah is the creator of every single one. Often we hear this word Rabb. Often we recite this word Rabb. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrur rahimin. Often we recite this word Rabb in our prayers, in our supplications. Often we hear this word Rabb. But have we really understood what is the meaning of Rabb? What is the meaning of Rabb? Remember, there are many Quranic words. Many words that come in the Quran that cannot just be literally translated. Just by means of example, the word Iman, which is repeated in the Quran several times. To the extent that scholars write, Iman has been repeated approximately 811 times in the Quran. This word Iman, often translated as belief or faith, but this is just the basic translation of the word Iman. This is the basic translation of the word Iman. Iman in its deeper meaning, in its more technical meaning, is, as scholars have written, where a person reaches a stage in his life that now he negates every single thing. He rejects every single thing. He goes against his eyesight, his hearing, he goes against media, he negates his logic, his intellect, and he brings firm conviction, firm faith and yaqeen, that in what Allah and His Messenger have mentioned, in that lies our total success. That is the absolute, that is haqq, there's no way out. Just by means of example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in the third juz, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah promises you and I that Allah will destroy usury. Allah will destroy interest. Allah will destroy riba. There won't be any barakah. There won't be any blessings in transactions based on interest. And then Allah promises that He will increase our sadaqah. Allah will cause our charity to grow. Allah will expand it for us in this world and the year after. Outwardly, logic tells us, by receiving interest, by accepting interest, or by interacting in transactions based on interest, outwardly it seems to us that our money is increasing. There's an increase in our wealth. There's a growth in our wealth. But to go against this logic of ours, to negate it, and to say, no, no, what Allah has mentioned, that is haq. That is the absolute. There's no other way but the Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah promises that He will increase our sadaqah. Allah will increase our charity. Logic tells us by spending in the path of Allah, by spending on the poor, our money is decreasing. But again, to negate this, to reject it, and to say, no, what Allah has mentioned, that is the accurate. That is haq, that is authentic. This is the deeper meaning of iman. Likewise, this word Rabb, which is approximately plus minus, repeated in the Quran 978 times. This word Rabb comes in the Quran. What is the meaning of Rabb? Ulama write, Rabb refers to that dhat, that being who takes responsibility to bring someone from nothing and then make him something. At one stage we were all non-existent. We never live in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly brought us into existence. Allah created us. Thereafter Allah nurtured us. Allah took care of us. Allah protected us until you and I reached a certain age in our life that now we are able to fend for ourselves all through the bounty, the fadl, and the grace and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rabb again refers to that being who brings someone from nothing and then makes him something. So Allah says all praise belongs to Allah. Who is Allah? Allah is the Rabb of every single world, every single planet, every single galaxy, every single thing forms part of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the word Allah uses in the very first verse of the Quran. Rabbil Alameen. Allah is the Rabb of every single world, every single planet. Just to put ourselves in a better picture, to understand it more in a better manner, scholars and scientists have discovered in this day and age that Earth is one of the smallest planets in our entire galaxy. Earth on which we live is one of the smallest planets in our entire Milky Way galaxy. Like how we have Earth, we have Mars, etc. There are another 100,000 million planets, another 100,000 million planets that make up what is called our Milky Way galaxy. Then it does not end over there. That's just one galaxy. Our neighboring galaxy called the Andromeda. Subhanallah. They say that light that travels around the entire Earth in a split second. If light has to leave Andromeda, it will only reach our Milky Way galaxy after millions of years. This is the vast gap in space between the two galaxies. Like how we have our Milky Way galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy, there are another 100,000 million other galaxies. When all put together, they make up what is called the universe, which is termed as cone in Arabic. This is just one universe. There are another million universes which make up what is called the multiverse. And it continues until we get the cosmos. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the Rabb of every single galaxy, every single planet, all these galaxies, the entire cosmos put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even equal the tip of a needle in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the Rabb of every single person, every single world, whether it is the human world, whether it is the animal world, whether it is the jinn world, whether it is the angel world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You and I cannot truly fathom and understand the true majesty, the true greatness, the true grandeur and the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then immediately thereafter, after explaining to us His greatness, His majesty, His grandeur, immediately thereafter in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear to you and I, that remember your Rabb, your Creator, your Allah is so powerful, is so great, so magnificent, but still Allah is the most forgiving, most merciful. Allah is full of mercy and rahmah. Allah is full of mercy and compassion. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is the most merciful, the most beneficent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he draws an analogy for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, illustrating the vast and the boundless mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions an example of a traveler who traveling in a desert. Whilst traveling in a desert, when suddenly he loses control of his camel, and his camel disappears from him and goes far away from him. And this person's traveler, all his belongings, all his food, his water, his provisions, everything were placed on the back of that camel of his. And now he goes into a panic. He goes to and fro in search for his camel. And he continues searching for his camel the entire day. Until the entire day elapses, this traveler now becomes exhausted. And he loses all hope in ever finding his camel again. He becomes totally despondent of living. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he goes beneath a tree and he decides to take some shade or take some shelter beneath a tree. And whilst he's taking shade under a tree, having no hope of living any longer, his eyes closes and he falls off to sleep in this condition. And suddenly after some time, he awakens from his sleep. His eyes opens and he finds his camel standing right next to him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this traveler goes into such an ecstasy, such an enjoyment, such an excitement, that in that extreme enjoyment, in that ecstasy and excitement, he utters the wrong words, slip of the tongue. Instead of saying, Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abduk, oh Allah, you are my Rabb, you are my creator, I'm your slave, I'm your servant. He changes it the other way around. Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Oh Allah, you are my servant, I am your Rabb. In that ecstasy, he utters the wrong words. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then tells his Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, remember, lallahu afrah, lallahu afrah. Allah becomes more happy. Allah becomes more joyed to see a certain slave or servant of his turning towards him in repentance. Allah becomes more happy than the traveler to see you and I turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim. Thereafter, in the next verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maliki yawm al-deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole possessor and owner of the day of judgment. Allah is the owner of the day of recompense, of the day of judgment. Prior to the advent of Qiyamah, Allah will wrap up all the heavens. Allah will fold the skies. يَوْمَ نَطْوِ السَّمَاءِ كَطَيِّ السِّجِّلِ الْكُتُبِ Every single thing will come to a complete end. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address all those arrogant kings. Allah will address all those tyrant kings. All those arrogant people. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ That tell me today, who does the entire kingdom belong to? To whom does the kingdom belong to? Everything will become to a complete end. Only Allah will remain. Only Allah will be alive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address the entire universe. And then Allah will respond himself, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ That this entire universe, this entire kingdom of the heavens and the earth only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the possessor of the day of judgment. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the message of Surah Al-Fatiha. To understand the greatness, the power, the grandeur, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first surah of the Qur'an, the opening chapter of the entire Qur'an al-Majid. And as we mentioned previously, that a person who intends to understand the message of the Qur'an should firstly understand the message of Surah Al-Fatiha. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects our yaqeen, Allah corrects our belief, our conviction, and Allah makes it very clear, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ That it is only Allah who do we worship. And only Allah alone do we seek help and assistance from. This is the most fundamental, the most important principle in every single believer's life. To have tawheed in his life. To worship Allah alone. Not associating any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. That youngster, O Ibn Abbas, O son of Abbas, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Whenever you ask anyone for anything, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plead to Allah. Allah loves to see you and I turning towards Him, begging Him, pleading Him. Insan is such that when a person is asked for some favor, he becomes irritated. He gets upset. He becomes angry. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes upset and angry when you and I do not supplicate, when you and I do not turn towards Him in supplication, when you and I do not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah is teaching us, Allah is commanding us to turn towards Him, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we need may be in this world. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So after teaching us how to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after teaching us how to hymn and glorify His praises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then corrects our yaqeen, our belief system, our faith. Then Allah teaches us in the surah a very, very important supplication, a very important dua, which is the greatest need of every single human. The greatest need of every single human on the surface of this earth, which is hidayat. Every one of us requires hidayat and guidance. Allah says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Daily we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Guide us to the straight road. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The road and the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon. Those whom Allah has blessed. Those whom Allah has showered His favors upon. Allah does not leave us in a suspense. Allah elaborates, Allah clarifies, what is صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? What is the straight path? What is meant by the straight road? Allah thereafter, the next verse says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. The straight path, the straight road, is not the road and the path of those who have earned the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Referring to the Yahud and the Jews. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. They have earned the wrath and anger of Allah because of their misconduct, their misbehavior, their arrogance. And nor is it the path of the Christians who have went astray. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. This is a very straight road, a very moderate religion. Scholars and ulama write under the commentary of this verse that we find the Jews, they had knowledge, they had ilm, but no practice, no amal in their lives. They knew for sure, with certainty they knew, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final and the last messenger. Yet they denied and they rejected his prophethood. So they had ilm, they had knowledge, but no practice, no amal. On the converse, we find that the Christians and the Nasara, they had amal, they had so-called practice, but no knowledge. Their practice was based on ignorance. So this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the most upright ummah, the most straight ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined for us the best of both. The best of both, knowledge together with practice. Like how it is extremely emphasized and greatly emphasized to practice and to do amal. Likewise, it is greatly emphasized to acquire the true adequate knowledge of deen. The true ilm and knowledge of deen. Why? Anything done on jahalat, anything done on ignorance, will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has favored this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by granting us the best of both, knowledge together with practice. After this entire dua, which you and I make every single day, in every single rakat of every single salah, thereafter we recite Ameen. What does Ameen mean? Allahumma istajib. Allahumma taqabbal. O Allah, accept our supplication. O Allah, accept our dua. Accept our humble supplication. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in a hadith, that person whose Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Malaika, that person whose Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All his minor sins will be forgiven. All his past sins will be forgiven. And thereafter other ahadith explain that in every single fard salah, malaika and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also attend the fard salah. They also attend the salawat, the five times salah. And they also recite Ameen after the completion of Surah Fatiha. Therefore that person who recites Ameen, and his Ameen coincides with the Ameen of malaika, the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that all his past sins will be forgiven. May Allah grant us the tawfiq and the ability to understand the Quran-i-Majid, to understand the supplication of this surah, Suratul Fatiha, and to understand the entire message of the Quran, understand what is the plea of the Quran, what is Quran telling us about, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us in this Quran. May Allah grant us the tawfiq and ability to practice on whatever has been said or heard. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.